I have touched you with the priest, with the gods. You know, a god is an instrument with a shofar. The farmer used the god to just touch the animal when the animal wants to go astray, instead of straight ahead. Not to hurt him, but to remind him who is the master. And you know, Saul kicked against the gods. So the Lord said, it is hard for you to kick against the God. You will be hurt if you continue that. And Saul said, Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus whom you persecuted. Saul capitulated and said, Lord, what shall I do? In other words, he surrendered his life to the risen Lord. What did he see? What is the heavenly vision that he's talking about? He saw the head, Christ the head in heaven. He saw the body of Christ on this earth. One. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul didn't argue and said, Lord, when did I persecute you? You are in heaven, I cannot touch you. I haven't done it. No, he understood. He understood. When he touched God's people in Jerusalem, he touched the head of Christ. When he touched people, God's people in Judea, he touched the head. As he is going to Damascus to touch the believers there, he is touching the head. Brothers and sisters, what a vision. He saw the vision of Christ, the head, high above all. And he saw the body of Christ cover the whole earth. Brothers and sisters, that is the heavenly vision he saw. And he was never disobedient to that vision. If you see this vision, it gives you the center. The center of God's word is Christ. And with him, the church, his bride. It gives you the outline of the Son's word. You'll find everything in the scripture is centered upon Christ. Every truth comes out of Christ, touching the church that is the circumference. I remember many years ago, dear brother Watchman Nee told us. He said, if you see Christ and the church, really see Christ and the church, the whole Bible is open to you. How true it is. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need to go to the Lord to ask him to reveal Christ and the church to us. And if we have that vision, you will find all these odd pieces fit together. That's the first absolute need for the ministry of God's Word. Number two, know the sacred letter. You know, Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he said, Timothy, you are well acquainted. You know the sacred scripture letter from your childhood. In other words, he was brought up with the Word of God. To minister the Word, you need to know the Word. That's evident. Unfortunately, today you'll find on many pulpits, you really don't need to know the Word, because you're not talking about the Word, you're talking about social or political problems. If you know the world, that's enough. But if you really want to minister the Word, you have to know the Word. You have to read it. You have to memorize it. You have to meditate on it. You have to seek the Lord about it. You have to allow the Word to work in your lives. You have to be convicted by the Word. You have to be enlarged by the Word, uplifted by the Word. You weep over the Word. You laugh over the Word. Brothers and sisters, you need to be acquainted with the Word of God. When I first came to this country, I discovered one thing among the Christians in this country. I hope I'm wrong. I discovered that the Christians in this country know a lot, but all they know came by hearing, not by reading. They heard a lot, but they do not read the Word a lot. And because of this, they can easily be deceived. There is no sure foundation, solid foundation. Dear brothers and sisters, for all believers, we need to have a solid foundation of the Word of God. You read a lot about the Word of God, but you do not read the Word of God as you should. You read lots of commentaries, lots of books about the Bible, but how about the Bible itself? I'm not against commentaries. I'm not against these books. I publish them. But there is a temptation. Because these books, these commentaries, are digested food. Therefore, it's easy to accept. The Word of God as it is, almost like solid food. You have to learn how to digest it. And I understand that. That's why you go for these books instead of the book. But brothers and sisters, if you do not know the book, or rather, you don't read these books. If it put my publishers out of business, thank God. Because it is not a business, it is a ministry. Anyway, we need to know the Word of God. apply ourselves to God's Word. To store the Word of God richly in our hearts. Not just know it mentally, but really touch it. Touch it. As you touch the Word of God, you touch the living Word. You touch Christ. You have to read it in that way. Now, if there is a store, rich store, of the Word of God within you, then you'll find the Holy Spirit has an instrument in you that He can use for His work. So the Bible said, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You know, the Word of God is like a sword. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It penetrates, it divides. It divides the soul and the spirit. But dear brothers and sisters, who is the one who wields, who uses this sword? The Holy Spirit. He will use His Word and touch people, not you and me. Today we use the Word of God to cut people down. And not only in preaching, but in praying too. But if we touch the Word of God in a living way, then we allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to touch people's conscience and to do the work. So I think this is evident. We don't need to labor over it, that those who minister the Word need to know the Word. They need to really read the Word. Number three. Those who minister the Word needs revelation. By revelation, we do not mean that you need to receive some revelation extra to the Scripture. No. Some people today confess, they proclaim that they receive new revelation that you cannot find in the Word of God. That's heresy. That needs to be rejected. All the revelations of God, all that God wants to reveal about His own Son and His beloved church are here in this book. There is no extra revelation. The faith is completed at the end of the first century, once delivered to the saints. But it doesn't mean that today we do not need revelation. The Apostle Paul prays for the saints in Ephesus that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the full knowledge of God. We need revelation. What is it? It simply means this. The Holy Spirit who breathes the Word of God, is breathed. God breathes, and the Word comes forth. So, once you find the Spirit of God breathed and result in the Word we have in our hands, this is logos, the truth. eternal truth, never changing. But as we approach the Logos, these are letters to us. But when we read them with a humble spirit, looking to the Spirit of God to interpret it to us, one day when you read it, the Holy Spirit breathed again upon the Word was bread. Suddenly that Word become alive to you. It touches your heart. It becomes real to you. It is a personal Word. Not a Word that was written thousands of years ago, but a Word now. Not a Word that is general, but a Word to you. We call it Rhema. In John chapter 6, the Lord said, "My words are life and spirit." The word there is Rhema. The word that I'm speaking to you now is spirit and life. When you receive that Rhema, that revelation, it becomes life to you and spirit to you. That is what you need. And only with this Rhema, you're able to help people into the truth. So, brothers and sisters, those who minister the Word of God, you need to ask the Lord to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what you need. Number four. You need experience. To minister the Word of God is not just lecturing, just expounding, analyzing God's Word. It is imparting life. It is imparting Christ. Therefore, you need experience. You need to experience Christ. And that's the reason why those who minister the Word of God, God will arrange them, put them in so many circumstances. It is strange, you know. Those whom God wants to use to minister His Word, God will put them in strange circumstances. In a sense that you really do not need to be in such environments. But He puts you there in order that you may learn Him, experience Him. And out of your experience of Him, you are able to minister Him to other people. David is a typical example. God put David into so varied, different situations in order that he may learn God. And out of his learning, he wrote these psalms. People love psalms. Why? Because they are life experiences. They are real. So, brothers and sisters, in ministering the Word of God, we need experience. It is true. Sometimes God allows us to speak beyond our experience, to stretch us. But speaking with experience is different. is different. Well, the question may be raised. If the ministry of God's word is so difficult, who dare? Who will? Who is competent? No one dare. People who dare are people who should not. People who sense their incompetency and yet they are constrained by the love of Christ. They have to do it. They have to suffer for it. The standard is high. God never lowers His standard. Because the Word of God is God Himself. It is by His Word that His work is done. Therefore, He will never lower His standard. To minister the Word of God universally, and to minister the Word of God locally, are no different. No different. But, thank God, in Philippians chapter 3, He says, if you are not thus minded, let it be so minded. But, wherever you have attained, walk in it step by step. So, brothers and sisters, even though we are not able to enter into this ministry like Paul, or even like Timothy, but dear brothers and sisters, step by step, step by step, whatever God has already led you, just do it within your measure. Don't do it beyond your measure. But as you're faithful in your small measure, God will increase that measure. That's why we say, it seems as if ministering the Word of God universally always begins with ministering the Word of God locally. Maybe in the beginning it is just at a time of Bible study or fellowship time, maybe the Lord give you something of His Word and you use 1 or 2 minutes to share what the Lord has given to you. And gradually you'll find you are able maybe to minister the Word of God in a small group for 5 minutes or even extend to 10 minutes. And maybe gradually you'll find that the Lord began to increase your measure. You are able to minister to the people whom you are with, maybe 30, maybe 100, and you're able to share with them maybe for an hour, for half an hour. And people really help. The anointing of the Lord is with you, gradually developed, step by step, step by step. So do not be discouraged. But the standard cannot be lowered. Our mind has to be set on the standard that God has set. And only by this we are able to grow. Just like Paul's testimony. Occupy with it, that people may see how you make progress. So, brothers and sisters, take heart in your local assemblies. If you really love the Lord and love His church, you want to see His church built. Apply yourself to the Word of God. And if the Lord began to open up something to you, share it with your brothers and sisters. And at the same time, be humble enough to be corrected. Or even to be discouraged. If it doesn't help people, then it needs to be discouraged a little bit. But don't be discouraged at the very beginning. Try again. You know, and after several trials, then it becomes clearer. You know, and may the Lord raise up in local assemblies where you are some who are really able to minister the Word of God in a way that will build up the church. And that is, I believe, what the Lord desires from us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we have been sharing together on this matter of government and ministry of local assemblies. We have to confess that no matter how we talk, it does seem to hide thy will rather than open thy will. For this we ask forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit will take what is thine and speak to our hearts. Give us a right understanding of government, a right understanding of the ministry of the Word, and give us, raise up people who are able to be in the place of government and in the place of ministry. Lord, we cry unto Thee for the love of Thy church. Grant our prayer. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.
For those that can stay a few minutes, we would like to have a few minutes of prayer.